I find a lot of people, I've heard a lot of people over the years say to me, you know, I used to go to church and I dropped out. I could never ever figure out what it was all about. And so in these 4 weeks, what we've been looking at are what is it actually all about? God actually has a purpose, an amazing purpose for a community of people who are followers of Jesus. And we've been looking at several things. The first one was about grace, and last week we looked about compassion. And tonight I want to look at the whole topic of generosity. And I was thinking, I wondered if it were possible tonight, if we had that roving mic that was here before, and you know, I wandered down into the crowd here and I asked you, what do you think is the virtue that is most mentioned in the Bible? What would you say? And someone might say, well, I think it's hope. You know, the Bible's full of talk about hope, and you'd be right, the Bible mentions hope a lot. In fact, someone has worked out that hope is mentioned in the Bible 185 times. And someone else might say, well, sure, hope is important, but there's a more important thing that gets mentioned in the Bible a lot of times, and it's faith. And you would be right, it's mentioned more than hope. It's mentioned 246 times. And maybe by the time it got to you, you'd say, hey, look, it's obvious. The virtue that is mentioned in the Bible most has got to be love. And love is mentioned a tremendous number of times in the Bible, 733 to be precise. But do you know that giving is mentioned in the Bible 2,285 times? I used to be very apologetic at talking about this topic, but I realize now how often it is actually mentioned in the Bible. Now, why would it be? I mean, why would the Bible speak about these big topics like love and faith and so on relatively infrequently to spend compared to the amount of times it talks about giving? Now, do you know why? I don't think the answer is too hard to find. It's because giving is the expression of all the other virtues. You can't actually love without giving. And the Bible tells us that God so loved the world that he gave. And in this life, we are told there are two kinds of us. There are those who are givers and those who are takers. And I really want to talk about this tonight. Are you a giver in life or are you a taker? Now, giving is actually a very multifaceted thing. When you become a follower of Jesus, it means that Jesus will get to work on your life and you will become a giving person. It means you become giving of your time to others, of your energy, of your resources. But there is nothing that focuses the mind so much as this issue of money. And that's the aspect of giving that I want to talk about tonight, because it's such a tangible thing. And I want to do it in this framework of a question. And the question is, do you want to be a generous person? Do you want other people to look at you and say, hey, wow, look at that generous, big-hearted, compassionate person? Or do you want people to look at you and say, look at that mean-spirited character. I am so glad I'm not like him or her. Because if you want to be miserable, you know what you have to do? Be a miser. Because the word miserable and miser actually come from the same word. And so it's very simple. Do you want to be a generous, big-hearted person? Or do you want to be miserable? And it's all tied up, according to what the Bible says, with our attitude towards money. Now let me, before I get into this, give an explanation. Tonight, I'm not talking about fundraising. There's a number of you here tonight who aren't followers of Jesus yet. And people say that one of the things that turns people off going to church more than anything else is the church is always asking for money, trying to raise funds. You know, you go to church and the big thermometer there, and we want your dough and this sort of thing, you know. And it, It is about the biggest turn-off you can get. They're only after my money. Now, I'm not talking about fundraising tonight. If churches engage in fundraising, there's a church in this community that continues to stuff things in our letterbox, asking for money, and it turns me off. I mean, no wonder they haven't got any money. That was my feeling. I shouldn't say that, I suppose. I'm not talking about fundraising. If churches try to raise funds, they'll raise funds. I'm talking about something else. I'm actually talking about something of the heart. I'm talking about giving. Because when you learn to be a giving person, it does something to you. It does something to your attitude to God, to your relationship with God. It does something to your values. It does something to your faith. And it's something far, far more than just asking for money. That's not what I'm talking about tonight. If you go out of here and say, that was a terrible message, that just bloke got up there and all he did was talk about, we want your money, then let me humbly suggest you missed the point. It's not about raising funds. It's about you being a giving person, being someone generous in heart, because that's what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And God has this amazing plan that there'll be a community of people in this world who follow Jesus. And these people are gracious, generous, big-hearted people. And you know why God, that's his purpose for the church. You know why? So that people can look at these people and say, hey, look at this. I want to be like that. I don't want to be some mean-spirited, miserly person. I want to be a generous, big-hearted person. And that is God's purpose for all of us who follow Jesus. That we learn how to be generous people, big-hearted people. How do we do it? It comes down to this gutsy issue about money. Now, as I mentioned, I never used to get up much and talk about money. Particularly in a service like this one, where here on Sunday nights, we have a service that is more user-friendly for those of you who aren't used to going to church, and I know what everyone says about, they're always asking for money and this kind of stuff. But more recently, I've realized just how in my own life and the life of Marge and I together, that this issue of giving has been such an important issue in our own spiritual growth. And over the years, we've learned to give away more and more of what we get. And it has, let me speak for myself, I have found my own understanding of God, of my faith, and of life and what it's about. There is a direct relationship to my ability to give generously and what it does to my own heart. And I've come to see, if you want to grow spiritually in your relationship to God, this isn't a secondary issue. This is close to the core of what it means. And you know why? It's because money is so important to all of us. And I want to talk a bit more about this tonight. And a thing puzzles me, it's puzzled me over years, why is it that some people start off as followers of Jesus and they seem to go on really well, and then they walk away from it a few years down the track. Now, I can never really understand that, because if you've really experienced the love and the mercy of God and you know that God has forgiven all your wrongdoing in your life and he's given you new hope and new direction for your life and all this stuff, how could you walk out on it? And what I've come to see and realize is there's a strong link up with this whole thing about money. That people who become lifelong followers of Jesus are generous people. They are people who've resolved this issue. And they've decided, hey, there are some things in life that matter more than me hanging on to my money. In fact, I'm going to use my money to bring hope and love into the lives of other people. So, what does the Bible have to say about it? Let me read a passage out of the Bible to you. It's from 1 Timothy, the first letter the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy, and it's from chapter 6 and verse 17. Warn the rich people of this world, he says. Warn the rich people of this world not to be proud or to trust in wealth that is easily lost. Tell them to have faith in God, who is rich, and blesses us with everything we need to enjoy life. Instruct them to do as many good deeds as they can and to help everyone. Remind the rich to be generous and to share what they have. This will lay a solid foundation for the future, so they will know what true life is light. Now you've got a copy of the outline with you tonight, and I want to make these points as I go along tonight. And point number one on this one is on this first sentence here. Warn the rich people of this world not to be proud or to trust in wealth that is easily lost. And point number one tonight is that trusting in money is a dead end. Trusting in money is a dead end. Now you might think, this really a good passage of the Bible, but boy, it's not for me because I know rich people around, and I just hope, you know, they're listening. And because this isn't for me, because I'm not rich. You know, all you need to see is a video like we saw tonight. And you know, New Zealand is still one of the top 25 richest countries in the world out of nearly 200 countries. And in a global sense, we hear all of us, the poorest person in New Zealand is rich in global terms. When you look at the state of the world, we actually are among the rich of the earth. And this is to us. Warn the rich people of this world. And you know, do you know how we know it's for us? Because we in New Zealand have a problem that people in poor countries don't have. You know what the problem is? The problem is materialism. And this is the central core value of the Western world. There is probably nothing that is more important to us than materialism. Our whole society is built around an ideology that life consists of the abundance of our possessions. And all of us would say, oh no, no, not for me. This is a deep, deep value that grips the hearts of every one of us. And you know what Jesus said about it? You know what he specifically said? That life does not consist of the abundance of our possessions. And yet every day, the stuff comes through our letterbox, glossy brochures, telling me that I can't live my life without stuff that I didn't even know existed. You know, it's amazing stuff. And the whole of our value system in our society is built around get. I saw a bumper sticker on a very wealthy car one day, you know, he who has the most toys wins. And that's the attitude, that's the world we live in. The one who ends up with the most toys, they win. And what the Bible says is it's a dead end street. Now, if materialism, this has all of us by the throat far more than we realize, more than any of us realize. There is only one antidote to materialism. You know what it is? Become a generous giver. There is nothing else that can break the power of materialism in someone's life. Become a generous giver. And if you say, oh no, I can't, it's got you by the throat. There is a demonic power about materialism. And this is the central core value of our society. And it has us. It really has us. And this is the only antidote. Because, you know, every time you give generously, that is about the most countercultural thing you can ever do. You know, there's a lot of people around think if you're real counterculture, you don't wear shoes or you grow your hair long or whatever you do, you know, you show you're real. Live on the West Coast, you know, you're real alternative, you know. I tell you, the real alternative people in this world are those who've learned to be generous givers. And that is, if you want to break the power of materialism in your life, learn to be a generous giver. It's a countercultural value. And you're saying, every time you give generously, you're saying that my self-worth and my net worth are not the same thing. Because everyone else thinks they are. As people get more money, their sense of self-worth rises and people bow in front of them and give them titles and respect and honor. Why is it so hard? See, last Sunday night I talked about compassion and a whole lot of people afterwards said to me, that's wonderful. You know. That is just so good hearing about compassion. You know, we all want to be compassionate people. I am well aware that after this tonight, there will not be a queue of people coming up to me saying, it is so good having you telling us to give away our money. More likely I'll get anonymous notes in the mail during the week. You know. What are you trying to do to us? You know, why is it so hard? You know why? This idea of giving, being a generous giver, because it strikes at the core value of our society and it strikes at the core of my selfishness. Because I want to use my money for myself. And to become a real follower of Jesus means you do a U-turn. And you say, hey, no, there's something else. There are other values that are far, far more important. Do you know that Jesus told 38 parables? And do you know that half of them are about money? Half of them about money. Now, I mean, you think Jesus' parables, they'd be about love and compassion. So they were. His whole life was. But when he told these stories, half of them about money. Why? Because it's so important to us. It's so important to us. I mentioned a couple of weeks ago the story of one of our family members who for 7 years walked right away from Christian things, and they were very difficult years for us, but he came back here one Sunday night. It was a wonderful night a couple of years ago. Very, very deeply moving experience all around. And that night, Marge and I got to talk about it, and she said, do you think it's for real? I said, look, don't have any doubt. This is so real what has happened. Well, 10 days later, he was around home. And he said, all right, next Sunday. He said, at the going out after church, came back the next Sunday, and he said, on the way out, he said, I stopped at the table there out in the foyer and got an automatic payment form so I can start giving 10% of my income. And I said to Marge, I told you it was real. I mean, that's how you know. This is not just some superficial emotional thing. This is, I mean, you know that faith is real when people start giving. Because that's actually an act of faith. That's what real faith is. I mean, anyone can say in their head, sure, I believe in Jesus, you know, oh yeah, too right, I'll follow Jesus, blah, 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 as you lot would say. Shows how up with the culture I am, eh? But you know, what does it mean? What does it mean? Until it starts costing something. Okay, so that's point number one. Trusting in money is a dead end. So what does he go on to say? Warn the rich people and so on. Then the next sentence he says, tell them to have faith in God, who is rich and blesses us with everything we need to enjoy life. So point number two is that trusting in God is a far better deal than trusting in money. Did you know? Look, there's an awful lot of people would not have a clue that the Bible says that God wants you to enjoy life. I meet so many people and their picture of God is that God is out to stop you enjoying life. If they said what is one characteristic of God, it's that. God wants you to stop you enjoying life. Now here it is, there it is in English. God blesses us with everything we need to enjoy life. Now, I meet an awful lot of people who are not enjoying life. And they're not enjoying life because their life is held in the grip of money. I've known people who've lived in houses far beyond what they could afford and who are up to their eyeballs in a mortgage. And once or twice in a very gracious and diplomatic way, I've said, as I've looked around one or two palaces and having a bit of an idea what someone might be earning, yes, you must have a big mortgage. And I've heard responses like, oh, it's killing us. It's killing us. You know, we've got little kids and my wife really wants to stay home, look after them, but she can't. We've both got to go out to work and got to pay for them to have daycare. And you know, we've got these several cars we're running in this place, and oh, it's just going, you know, I just, oh. And I look at that person, I think, you're not enjoying life. You're miserable. And money is controlling your life. Now, some of you tonight are like that. For sure, in a crowd this size, I'm fairly sure I'll hit this one right. Some of you are like this. Money's controlling your life, and you're not enjoying life, and God wants you to enjoy life. Let me give you some simple pointers. If you're like this, downgrade your lifestyle. You'd say, oh, what would the neighbors think? You are living in a house you can't afford, bought with money you don't have, to impress people you don't like. You're crazy, aren't you? Think about it. You're mad. You know, why are you doing this to yourself? Who are you trying to impress? Oh, but think of the loss of face. Well, you had to live in Spraydon. Awful. I better stop, eh? Move on to the next one. You know, it says that money is not a big deal to God. Have you ever thought of that? It says God is rich. He owns the universe, you know. Money is actually not a big deal to God. You know, money is such a big deal to us. Oh, wow, you know. What, I mean, if I became a generous giver, oh, man, what would happen? You know, God is generous. This is what it says. God wants to richly bless us with everything we need to enjoy life. And that is why giving is an act of faith in God. And this is a real tangible. You say, oh, I want to be a person of faith. You know, I really want to have faith in Jesus and all that. Okay, become a giver. I heard the other week a tape of a pastor of a church in Southern California, Saddleback Valley, a guy named Rick Warren. And this is a big church in Southern California, and for 15 years since they started this church, they had met in school halls and community centers and for several years in a tent. And they finally had 10,000 people coming to this church, and the local town planning people said to them, you can't carry on in this tent anymore, you know, you're contravening the regulations and so on, and which there are many. You've got to put up a building. So they hunted around. Finally, they found this place to put up a building. The only problem was, with 10,000 people, it was going to cost them $9 million. $9 million. So they put it to the church, and they said, this is a 3-year project. And what we want you to do is we want you to pray about how much would God have you give over 3 years. So as Rick Warren and his wife prayed together about it, he said this awful figure began to form in his mind. The figure was $100,000. Now, he's on a pastor's salary, you know. Probably an American pastor, he gets more than I do, but he's still on a pastor's salary. $100,000. And he thought, this is mad. Absolutely insane. But anyway, the big day came, and he got out the form, and they filled it in, and with trembling hands, he put it in the wherever you put it. $100,000 over 3 years. He thought, how is this going to happen? The next week, he had a phone call. He's written a book, which I've read, very good book, called The Purpose-Driven Church. He had a ring from the publisher. He said, your book is selling so well. He said, it is a bestseller. And he said, we want you to write another book. And we want to pay you up front for writing this book. And enclosed, please find a check for $150,000. So he gave not $100,000, but $150,000. And that was before the 3-year period began. You know, God is rich. and he blesses us with everything we need to enjoy life. And so to give and to give generously is a huge act of faith in God. And if you give, not just some crazy thing, but you give under the prompting of God's Spirit, you will know the blessing of God. Okay, that's point number two. Let's carry on. Point number three. What does he say here? This is verse 18 here. He says, instruct them to do as many good deeds as they can and to help everyone. Just briefly on this point, that giving, obviously, is more than money. And I was talking last Sunday night about compassion, as I mentioned, and this also is giving. And there's many, many ways we can give, and this is what Paul is saying here. It's not just money, but to do good deeds and to help everyone and so on. Now, let me just make one point about this. I find a lot of people, because this thing about money, you know, we squirm so much over this money thing, because it's so... People come to me and they say, oh, I'm not going to give any money to God's work. I'm going to give my time. Because I give my time, therefore I don't have to give my money. Hey, get a grip on yourself. Hey, this is not an either or test. What do you want to do? Be nice to people or give money? Answer A or B, or C, none of the above. It isn't actually like that. It's not like that. It's not a multiple choice quest. And now we try and do, this is a very generous church, you know, it's a great privilege being part of this place, because we try and live by this stuff. And people in this church have started a huge number of compassionate ministries in the community, and they're all, some of them are written up in this brochure that you get on the way out, that work alongside poor and needy people and struggling people who've had emotional pain in their life and all this kind of stuff. But we also are very committed to giving. And last year I sat and worked this out this afternoon from last year's annual, what do they call it, the financial report. And last year, of the money that came in here that people gave, we gave away 36% of what we got. And we are committed to doing this. And I really feel it's a deep obscenity that some churches spend all the money they get on themselves. I really feel that very deeply. And I don't think God kind of blesses that. Now people look at what we're doing, some people they say, you're mad. You know, you've got all these needs here, why are you giving it all away? Because we really feel that reflects the heart of God. And we want you to be part of this community. But becoming part of it, we really want you to understand this is a bunch of very generous people. And if you say, I'm going to be a follower of Jesus, but I'm going to be of the mean-fisted variety, I'd love to say to you, there's 200 other churches in Christchurch and they'll welcome you with open arms, I'm sure. Well, perhaps they won't. Giving is more than money. And we're committed to this. As most of it we give away overseas to the poor of the earth and those who are working with them. Point number four, and where we got to. This is the second part of verse 18 here. Remind the rich, he says. Remind the rich to be generous and share what they have. Okay. 10 years ago, Marge and I were in Orange County in Southern California, and Orange County is a very wealthy part of the states. And in fact, apparently, it's the fourth, well, I've been told this, it's the fourth richest county in the United States. Now, I don't know how many counties there are in America. It's thousands, probably. You know, it's every state, and they've got all these counties. And Orange County is the fourth richest county in the whole of the United States. I mean, it's a very opulent place. Manicured lawns and... Oh, yeah. We stayed in a condominium. Very nice. Big swimming pool outside. Lovely. Orange County, the fourth richest county in the United States. In America, they analyze everything, you know. But they've analyzed... charitable giving in America by county. How much does every county in the US, how much do the people give to charitable giving? Do you know which county in the United States is bottom of charitable giving for the whole of the United States? That's what I was told. It was bottom, Orange County. fourth richest county in the USA. And people in the ghettos per capita were more generous than these people in Orange County. Unbelievable. The interesting thing is, of course, often the poor are much, much more generous than the rich, because the poor are less likely to be locked into this materialism thing. The more you have, the more that you run the risk of this materialism thing getting you by the throat. And that's why Jesus said it's hard for the rich to enter the kingdom. Not because he was anti the rich, because it's just this thing about money and its seductive power. And it is seductive. Now you might say, well look, I'm not rich, I haven't got much money. And I know a lot of you hear on benefits and that kind of thing. And you know, the whole thing about giving is not the number of zeros you write on a check. It's whether or not you're generous. It's simply, that's it. And that's what the Bible talks about. It's whether you're generous or not. There's a famous psychologist named Carl Menninger. Some of you will know of him. He writes extensively about psychology. Founded the Menninger Clinic. And he said that giving is a criteria for mental health. How about that? People who give are more likely to be mentally healthy. That's interesting, eh? And one other quote, someone, not from him, someone said that giving is like spiritual aerobics. It's good for your heart. One last point, the last sentence here. He says, this will lay a solid foundation for the future so that they will know what true life is. And my last point, the fourth point was generosity is the key issue. And the fifth point is that giving is an investment in life. You know, they reckon the baby boomers are not saving for retirement all over the Western world, and consequently going to be very rich, are going to be very poor when retirement comes. But Jesus is actually, he talked about a far more important investment. Again, I want to read you what Jesus said about this. Really very interesting. This is what he says. Don't store up treasures on earth, he says. Moths and rust can destroy them, and thieves can break in and steal them. Instead, store up your treasures in heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy them, and thieves cannot break in and steal them. And in these words, your treasure will always be, your heart will always be where your treasure is. And I guess the question tonight is, where's your heart? Where's your heart? Is it in your money? Is it in your career? Is it in your hobbies? What are you investing your life in? What are you investing your money in? Are you just investing it in yourself? Or are you investing it in eternal values? Because you can't take your money with you. You know, when you see the hearse driving down the street, you never see the security van driving behind with everyone's money. But you can send it on ahead. That's what Jesus said. How do you do that? You use your money for things that are of eternal value, not just spending it all on yourself. You want to grow as a follower of Jesus. You want to be a follower of Jesus with real depth in your life and integrity. Become a generous giver, because your heart goes where your treasure is. One last thing where Jesus was saying, which is really my text for tonight, really, it's Acts chapter 20, verse 35. Well, my whole point tonight is that if you want to be a generous person, learn to be a generous giver. And if you want to be a mean-spirited person, then you spend all your money on yourself. And Jesus said this, there is more happiness in giving than receiving. I remember once having a discussion with a psychologist about this, and he was not a Christian. He said to me, I said to him, why aren't you a Christian? And he said, I can't believe the Bible. I said, what bits can't you believe? And he quoted this verse, and he said, Jesus said that it's more blessed to give than to receive. And he said, we all know that's not true. And I said, is that right? I said, have you ever thought that maybe it's not that it's true, but you've never discovered that it's true? What do you mean? So I explain. I mean, it's only those who've learned to give that have really discovered that this is there is far more happiness and fulfillment in this by miles than always being a receiver and a taker. How are you going to respond? Let's all pray together. We'll just be quiet for a moment and just kind of reflect on what we've been listening to. Some of us haven't become followers of Jesus yet, others of us have just begun, and some of us are kind of a bit tentative about it all. And Lord, I'd like to pray that wherever we're at tonight in our spiritual journey, at least you'll open our eyes to what it's about, and we will discover the phenomenal fulfillment that comes from learning to be a generous person, and how we can bring so much happiness and fulfillment to the lives of other people, not by being mean-spirited and tight-fisted and miserly, but by learning to love you and to give generously to you and to your work and to those in need. But Lord, for others of us, this kind of central value of our whole society, it's really got us by the throat. And Lord, I pray that you'll help us to see what we ought to do about it. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.